You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet? Well then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
O'Connell floats a fade down the right sideline, leaping catch, and it's Jacoby Myers diving after the leap into the end zone for a Raider touchdown. On second and goal from the four, O'Connell will swing it to Myers. Myers will throw again into the end zone. It's caught! Devontae Adams with the touchdown! Jacoby Myers' second pass of the night and his third career touchdown pass.
You're contributing.
That was
to
a Thursday contract night in December that got a couple people fired in L.A.
What
guys,
a bunch of jerks
you guys
feel
are bad about that. You got Brandon
coaches?
Staley and Tom Telesco fired, and now Tom Telesco is your GM.
It's the way of the world.
During that game, and by the way, we have Aiden O'Connell, Raiders quarterback, Jacoby Myers, Raiders receiver, here with us live on PFT Live. That Thursday night game, I mean, it was something. It was like, what in the world? What was it like to be in the middle of that, where just everything you guys did was working and nothing the Chargers could do?
You could see them falling apart in front of your eyes,
begin to have any impact.
Yeah, I think we played on Sunday before against the Vikings, and it was the complete opposite.
Yeah, the 0 points, the 3-0 game.
And it was like literally nothing could go right for us. And so to have it go the other way, we just said over there is, you know, is my first experience of how the NFL works. It's anytime you lace them up and go out there, you try to put your best foot forward, and you never know what's going to happen. So it was good.
Scoring at will doesn't just happen in the NFL. You guys were like starting to play Madden there for a little bit in that game.
Nah, redemption, man. Like you said, that Vikings game left a bad taste in our mouth.
Yeah.
I mean, we had to come in and do something, make somebody pay. So the Chargers just caught the worst end of it.
What did your head coach, Antonio Pierce, do after getting shut out on a Sunday, knowing you got to turn around and play on a Thursday night, to just set the right atmosphere for what we saw just 3 days later?
Yeah. I think AP, man, he really straightforward. Like, he just tell us what it is. Like, it wasn't good enough. We all felt it, though, at the same time. Like, the team chemistry, we all knew it was off. Like, we knew something was wrong. We had to come back and bounce back, so we figured it out.
What was the year like in general? I mean, you know, I know you're a rookie. You don't know what the hell to expect yet. You're just kind of like, this is awesome. I'm in the NFL. You've been around a little bit, right? But to go, okay, Josh McDaniels, you know, and then the coaching change and all that. Like, what is it like as a player kind of going through a coaching change in the middle of the football season?
Man, that was different. I usually had Bill, and you knew Bill was going to be there all year.
Right,
you know what
right.
I mean? Like,
he wasn't
no
getting
way,
fired.
Right. But then they switched it up. It was like a roller coaster every week almost. Like, you didn't necessarily know what you was going to get, but you knew something was coming. And then we ended up getting AP, and it just kind of took off.
Like, you felt, though, that, like, maybe the McDaniel thing was coming to an end? Like, you could feel that in the building a little bit?
I don't want to say I felt it was coming to an end, but I didn't know what it was that was going to change.
It didn't feel right.
Yeah, it didn't feel right. You know what I mean? But once we all kind of got on the same page, it was night and day almost.
So Antonio Pierce gets hired full time. You guys, like, give us your spiel on him. Like, what do you love about Antonio Pierce and him being your head coach now?
Yeah, I think.
Go ahead. He's grinning. Yeah. Go ahead.
He's just one of the guys, man. Yeah. I'm not gonna lie. Like, it's fun. Like, he really let us be ourselves. You know what I mean? Guys get to go out there and enjoy the game a little bit more. So that's what I appreciate about him.
What about you? Because now it's no longer like zero floods or gun F right 72 right. Pearl smash right. Wheel, right?
Come on, what you
I
know,
used to
man.
Play in your
what
offense.
You know? Okay,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah. I played for McDaniels. Yeah. So, yeah, what was that like for you as a quarterback where you're getting head coach messaging, plays, all that, and now you're like linebacker head coach? It's like, go out there and play harder.
That's really what it was. Yeah, that's really what it was. And AP, I mean, obviously to give him the opportunity in the first place was awesome, something that, you know, a lot of fourth round picks don't get to do. And so instill confidence in me. He actually talked to us as a rookie class the night before each preseason game, and that was my first experience listening to him. And you could tell, I knew from there, I was like, this guy is definitely a leader of men.
He could command the room.
Right. And so to see him there and then obviously for him to get the opportunity, it wasn't, you know, a huge surprise.
Do you think the groundswell led by guys like Max Crosby, Devontae Adams, do you think that really did make a difference and convince Mark Davis, we got to give this guy a chance to show what he can do, not from halfway through a season, but from the day we get things started in the offseason?
I
feel like if I was Mark Davis and Devontae Adams and Max Crosby came to talk to me and told me who they wanted, I probably would have listened to them. Just the type of guys they are, like what they bring to the team.
Yep.
I was like, all right, whatever you say, do it.
Yeah, that kind of leaders.
Those type of leaders.
Yeah, sure. I hear it. Well, all right, here's another fun thing I want to hit on. All right, first off, you guys look real cute
thank
in your
you
little
much.
Bounty jackets,
thank
all
you,
right? It's
thank
very
you,
nice you, of you. Very Backstreet Boy of you guys
right,
out here, okay?
Performance. Later.
But you know this guy next to you has got a perfect quarterback passer rating?
I just heard that? Yeah, I just heard. And yeah,
he
threw a touchdown against the Chargers, and that's what everyone talks about.
Right.
There was actually a different play where we had another trick play in the first half.
Yeah.
And he threw – it was supposed to be like a stutter go from Devontae.
Yeah.
And Devontae stopped and threw a back shoulder to Devontae.
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah.
That was impressive.
And so it's just like – I was literally – it was like
– A little bit.
All right. But I got I got a challenge flag to throw on this quarterback rating crap he's talking about. Wow. I think this was the long play, right? Because the only throw I remember from Jacoby Myers, it happened here in Vegas. Right. He was playing for another team called
the
Oh, here
forgotten.
We go. Hey,
no,
way to
they
go.
Pulled it up really fast.
You're lucky that this was a backwards pass.
Like, how did you
because
have
I
it
told
up?
Them to pull
this
it up, I knew you were coming.
This is a straight setup right here.
Yep, see, I got the mic. Oh man. Wait. So
that's
a lateral, all right? And you know, was this all a setup to get to Vegas in free agency?
I think it was.
It was all set up?
Kobe's in 2030 right now.
Come on, you got to be two steps ahead.
Hey, you're right. You're two steps ahead. That's the way. So wait, when that left your hand, though, right? Because as a quarterback, and Aiden, you can speak to this, right? You throw a ball, and you're like, oh, shit.
No,
I'm going to throw an interception. Is that going through your head as you were throwing it?
Bro, I throw the ball. I have no idea Chan is back there. He's like laying around in the black. So
right.
I go back and watch the film.
Right.
I see him catch it. And then Max comes and just, like, takes my head off. And I was at that point, I'm praying I can stand up. Like,
yeah.
I'm a little wobbly, but it is what it is.
Oh,
I
man.
I see my boy get stiff-armed. It's tough, man.
All
tough
right.
Night.
I appreciate you being a good sport.
Yeah,
you're a good dude for that.
Come and on. I like Thanks the idea, too. You can use the black logo as camouflage like you did.
Right.
You get the black jersey on. You just hang out there, and they don't see you coming. One thing we never would have seen coming to New England was victory cigars in the locker room. What would Bill have done about that if Max Crosby or you or anyone else lights up a cigar after a regular season win?
Now, we probably would have had practice that day. I got enough energy to smoke. Let's go ahead out here. You know what I mean? So, nah, I'm joking. But
well, were Max's cigars always full of tobacco? I'm curious about that.
Got it. That's a locker room comment. You're trying to get me fired.
What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
That's right.
Exactly. To tell you if he's rolling good
tell
blunts
us about
over there.
Bounty tell us more than about those awesome jackets. What's going on with Bounty?
Yeah, Bounty's a great product, obviously, you know, with the Super Bowl there's wings tied into it, some billion number of wings eaten, so great product, doesn't fall apart when you wipe your face and you need it.
Exactly, it's like Aiden said, man, you can't have football without wings.
Definitely,
you know what I'm saying, you can't have wings without Bounty.
Exactly,
you know it's gonna be a mess,
so right,
you need it.
All right,
you know,
Bounty, the quicker picker-upper, Bounty.
Come on,
is that still a jingle?
It was a jingle when I was growing up. So, you know, mama sang it that way, I sang it that way.
We go through a lot of paper towels in the house. When you have a dog that likes to eat anything the dog can find and then redeposit it on the floor, you've got a lot of Bounty.
Yeah.
But that's one of the things that Bounty picks up in my house. It does a very good job. You have to use a lot of it, but it does a very good job. Speaking of things that would make you like have that same reaction, the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. I'm sure you love having the Chiefs in
you
town.
You guys jump-started them. You got them going on Christmas. You got them going. Tell us, though, like, really, seriously, what Mike's saying. Like, give us the scouting report. What impresses you about the Chiefs having faced them and being, you know, you've had to face them a number of times over the few years.
Oh, yeah. I mean, 15, man, that's a player, you know what I mean? He come out there, he makes something work every time. Like, he really do, so. And the guys just kind of play well with him, you know what I mean? He get everybody organized. That's a good player, good team when they all put it together.
You see the Brady-ish type of leadership qualities from him, too?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. They go as he go.
Right.
I see that.
Give me the defense spiel real quick. It's last question. I know you guys got to go.
Yeah, they bring it at you. Whatever it is, they switch it up. And I was a rookie, obviously, so they're bringing some different stuff.
Right.
They do a great job mixing it up first quarter, second quarter. second
scheme
half.
Scheme and talents.
They try to break tendencies too a lot. That's a big part of them is breaking their self-scouts.
Exactly.
So it's really good.
Yep. We've been talking about that a lot. Like, what's the next
They're
level?
Very good at that. They really are.
I think right before the playoffs, they take a full look at it and redo everything.
Well, guys, we appreciate you. Have a great week.
Guys.
Thanks for the hospitality here, and thanks to Bounty for making Jacoby Myers and Aiden O'Connell available from the Las Vegas Raiders. We'll be back with more PFT Live right after this. There he is. You know, we didn't ask Jacoby Myers and Aiden O'Connell about the effort to find an offensive coordinator.
You're right.
It was going to be Cliff Kingsbury until it wasn't. Contract talks broke down on Saturday. Kingsbury out. At last report, Luke Getsy is in, but as we know, it's not done until it's done because it was supposedly done with Kingsbury. Kingsbury now the offensive coordinator of the Washington Commanders. And Chris, the team that had, as of a couple of weeks ago, two general managers now has two offensive coordinators. They've got Eric Bieniemy, who still is on the official website as offensive coordinator and assistant head coach, and they've got Kingsbury. And I looked into it today. Apparently, there's going to be some clarity coming up, and I'm still working on the whole East Coast, West Coast time zone. I think in a half hour, Dan Quinn, the new coach of the Commanders, meets with the media for the first time.
Yep.
He and GM Adam Peters will address the status of Eric Bieniemy. But it really is strange. Where we've seen all these recycled offensive coordinators this year. Bieniemy, other than interviewing for the Commanders head coaching job,
hasn't been mentioned. No.
And when you've got Ken Dorsey here and Alex Van Pelt there and Cliff Kingsbury here and Luke Getsy there, it's just weird that Bieniemy, I think Bieniemy's focused on trying to get a head coaching job.
Yeah.
But he's still under contract with the Commanders, and all these other seats are going to be full by the time he's officially released.
No, it doesn't. I mean, he's not going to be with the Commanders. I mean, he's not. What do you think? He's going to go, I'm going to take a back seat to a guy that I think's not as good of an offensive coordinator as me? Like, of course he's not. It's weird. See, where Eric Bieniemy has become an issue now, he should be a head coach already. We've seen, for whatever reasons you want to get into, other guys groom a quarterback and get credit, but yet a guy that groomed, like, the greatest quarterback of all time, yeah, I know he was with Andy Reid and all that still. But Mahomes talked about the importance of Bieniemy and all that, too. He doesn't get a head coaching job. It's weird, right? We know he's brutally honest. He's not a politician. You know, interviews are maybe, you know, a little too real for owners, whatever. Those are the things I've been told by a lot of people throughout football. Okay, that's all, you know, fine and good. But also the other problem is, right, like he's a threat. I don't think guys like Dan Quinn even want him around because, like, oh, man, if I'm going to get fired, they're going to talk about putting him as the head coach. So there's those issues as well. But, yeah, as it stands right now with Washington, I haven't liked much of what Washington's done at all in any facet. I don't like the Dan Quinn hire, and I don't like the Cliff Kingsbury hire. I'm not totally ecstatic about them.
What if they would offer Bieniemy the chance to stick around as assistant head coach? You're saying it is a potential threat, but it's not like they're going to fire Quinn.
No, not
this
right
year,
now.
Next year.
You're
they're
right.
trying to build right. something. I agree with you. The Quinn hire doesn't seem very inspired.
No.
It doesn't seem like something that's going to make anyone excited. It was second choice, maybe third choice.
It's third.
It's Mike McDonald.
Exactly.
Had an offer.
100%.
Along with the offer to
it's
go to
third.
Seattle. He picked
right.
Seattle over Washington.
Right.
See, what they were trying to do is create the impression no one says no to us. Every NFL team, every sports team wants to be able to say no one says no to us.
Yeah.
We say no to them.
Right.
Well, Ben Johnson said no, and then Mike McDonald said no. And who knows if Ben Johnson said no, but it creates the impression they wanted him and didn't
right.
get him.
And you're hiring a guy that, okay, had a solid time with the Falcons. As we know, the team was extremely talented. You know, Thomas Dimitroff did an incredible job building that football team. It was top heavy, okay, but, you know, a lot of great teams are. He went, what, barely above 500? I don't remember.
It was
it's
close.
Like, it's like a
right
game
around 500,
above.
One or two above 500.
I mean,
like 44 and 42 or something like that.
Blew a 28-3 lead in the Super Bowl, and he's the defensive football coach. The best thing Dan Quinn ever did, in my opinion, was hire Kyle Shanahan. And that was the banner moments of the Falcons in the Dan Quinn era, was the Shanahan years. Shanahan left, the team started to fall apart. So, yeah, I don't love that. And then Cliff Kingsbury, who I like in so many ways, but, hey, if I'm going to be honest about football and X's and O's, yeah, I got questions here. I mean, he's got a laundry list of great quarterbacks he's coached, yet the teams have never been good. That I don't like, whoa, he's coached all these guys. I'm going to go, yeah. And they're always 5-7 in college or can't get to the playoffs in the NFL, right? He seems like he's buddies with these guys, but that doesn't mean it's good for making them good quarterbacks.
One of the reasons we didn't know Mahomes was going to be Mahomes is because he didn't reach his full potential in college. A lot of sloppy footwork, a lot of things that
just backyard,
created questions.
Just play,
right, just
whatever,
go out and rip it around. An offense that doesn't evolve. We were talking earlier with Aiden O'Connell and Jacoby Myers about how that Chiefs defense spends all that time heading into the playoffs self-scouting. There isn't a whole lot of self-scouting. It's just my system, which works if you've got superior talent.
Exactly.
It doesn't work in the NFL. You've got to have something that shifts and changes and evolves and grows game by game, strategy by strategy, defense by defense.
What are we doing differently than what we do. Right.
It can't just be this is what we do.
Exactly right.
It's got to be what do they do and how are we going to do something to counter what they do.
That's what we complained about, right, in those years. That like it got to week 7 or 8 and every team would go, okay, I got the offense. I got what Cliff Kingsbury and the Cardinals are doing. And they would slowly start to shut down as an offense as the season went on. They got to the playoffs 1 year. But even that was a year where, what, they started out 10-1, 9-2, and barely, you know, limped into the playoffs because at some point, There's some things there that are not done the correct way. I'm shocked by this hire. I'm shocked. You know, now obviously they're going to try to draft a quarterback. Does that mean Caleb Williams or whatever, right? And I know Cliff Kingsbury's got great personal skills. Mahomes liked him. All these guys, they've all liked him. But again, what does like mean? Likely kiss my ass with like, okay? There you go.
You've been
sorry,
saying
London.
Kiss my butt
we're
not live in London.
Now. Like, I like. Well, tell me what coach quarterback combination is with the Super Bowls with. I like them. We're best buddies. Like, get the F out of here. This is football. The best teams ever, the best coach quarterback combinations ever. The coach and quarterback had issues because the coach, no matter how great the quarterback was, he constantly pushed that guy. Chuck Knoll. Right? Terry Bradshaw, Bill Walsh, I'm going to bench you for Steve Young, even though you're Joe Montana. I mean, I know my own life. Bill Sims, I mean, Bill Parcells, like we've always said, my dad didn't realize his name was Phil until he got done with the career because it was always, you know, effing Sims, right? I mean, again, did Jimmy Johnson make it like all flowers and roses with Troy Aikman?
He drafted Steve Walsh.
Right, Brady and Belichick. You could just go on and on. So friends, like, all that stuff is crap. And this is this is a big slap in the face to Eric Bieniemy, this hire, too. It bothers me in a lot of ways. It really does.
The head coaching hire that they should have just gone with him, or you're talking about Kepp as offensive coordinator?
The offensive coordinator was the slap in the face, like the ultimate slap in the face.
It's just weird how they're trying to thread these needles. They wanted to keep Martin Mayhew around, work with Adam Peters, because they worked together in San Francisco.
Right.
So Mayhew's the GM. In comes Peters as the GM. We got two GMs. What are we going to do? They reassign Martin Mayhew.
Yeah.
That's what makes me think they're trying to pull this same game with Bieniemy. We got two offensive coordinators now. What are we going to do? Well, Eric, we have this other position for you. Assistant head coach, whatever. Senior offensive, whatever. Whatever title they want to make up just to keep him there and have the benefit of his ability. And he may say, I'm not interested. He may say, I'll do nothing. But that's the problem. He will do nothing. Unless there is a surprise retirement, and a clamoring among the players in the locker room for him to be the successor to one of the two Super Bowl teams.
Or Mahomes wants him back as an OC
I mean, that's the only way it's going to happen.
I hear you.
And you know what? If they would have just fired him, the Chiefs could have brought him in if they wanted to. I don't know if they would have wanted to. They could have done like
consultant,
a Josh McDaniels thing as a consultant, and you could have got another ring.
Yeah, I exactly right. I'm really surprised by it. I am. And I'm not, like I said, I don't want to be disrespectful, but those are my honest feelings about the situation. And I don't quite understand it. And Bieniemy, here he is. He's coached all these top offenses and done so many positive things. And he gets passed over by guys where I'd go, wait, like Cliff Kingsbury hasn't coached any offense to the capabilities that Eric Bieniemy has, except now he's going to be the guy running the offense? I don't quite get that. And, Washington so far has not necessarily impressed me with their new regime here.
If I was a fan of the Commanders, I would be asking myself, what are we doing? And I would be like, why should I be excited now? I was real excited because Dan Snyder's gone. Ding dong, the witch is dead.
Right.
But what are we really doing? Ron Rivera was fired. We're getting a young offensive-minded coach. They let us believe that. Peter and I talked about on Friday how it was just such a bad job of managing expectations of the fans.
Yeah.
because everybody thought they were getting Ben Johnson.
Right.
And they did nothing to push back and say, no, it's actually Dan Quinn. They did nothing to create buzz. This is what quick lesson for any PR professionals out there. If you think the wind is blowing in that direction, you better make the reporters think the wind is blowing in that direction, too. And you better get that out there and get people comfortable with it before it happens.
100%.
Because when it just falls out of the lap after Ben Johnson says no thank you, after Mike McDonald says yes to the Seahawks, it does create the impression that you didn't get the guy you wanted and you settled. And that's never a good way to start a relationship like this.
No,
and the Kingsbury thing, I agree with you. Like, what is it? What are we really doing? The Caleb Williams angle. I was talking to folks in Chicago about this today because they're very interested. Folks in media, not the team.
Yep.
They're very interested in what Caleb Williams is going to do and what the Bears are going to do. And is it Justin Fields? Is it Caleb Williams? Is it Drake May? Is it Jaden Daniels? If Caleb Williams decides he wants to play for Cliff, if that's the end game here, you know, there is a way that it can happen. And I hadn't really thought it through like this. But 12 years ago, when Andrew Luck and RG3 were coming out, RG3 wanted nothing to do with the Colts.
Yeah.
But never said it.
Right.
He just made it clear in the communications with the Colts,
right,
I'm not interested. Invited him for a private visit. I'm not interested.
Right.
I'm not coming.
Right.
So it makes it easier for them to go to Andrew Luck. And I wonder, you know, and that's a way that you can exert yourself without creating a problem among media and fans who would say, how dare you not treat it as an honor and a privilege to be the first player drafted.
Yeah.
But if he starts getting word to the Bears, I'm really not interested in playing for you.
Yeah.
I'm not interested in coming to have a stake with you and the executive staff. I really don't want to be there. And you don't go public with it. That's a way to bend it toward. And all you got to go is one spot. Bend it toward Washington. And I concluded by telling the folks in Chicago, keep your ears open for hearing reports that the Bears have fallen in love with Drake May. The Bears have become smitten with Jaden Daniels. That becomes the cover, that no one said no to anybody. The Bears didn't get spurned by Caleb Williams.
Yeah.
But they were going to, so they made the smart play, and they settled on someone else, and that opens the door for Williams to go to Commanders. That's a more nuanced way to do it that doesn't require the kind of ugliness that we saw from John Elway and Eli Manning.
Yeah, I hear you.
That's a way to engineer it if you're Caleb Williams, and if this is all about keeping Cliff and Caleb together.
I mean, maybe. Just what I would say to Caleb. Again, Caleb, you show me a coach – quarterback friend, we're going out to be buddies, and tell me where that's been successful, Caleb Williams. That doesn't really happen in the NFL, right? You don't want your best buddy is not going to bring the best out of you. That's just not how it works, right? So that's where I don't understand that. We'll see, right? I know there's a lot of talk that this play is maybe made to adhere, make Caleb Williams like him. I look at it and go, Caleb Williams, I mean, gosh, I'd chop off my right leg to be in his position and go to Chicago to be number one.
Not literally.
I mean, not literally, but you know what I meant. But like, yes, I would, like, to the point of, from football standpoint, you can go to Chicago. They've never had a good quarterback.
Sid Luckman, how dare you?
Right.
You will be haunted by the ghost of Sid Luckman.
He could go and do exactly what, like, basically Mahomes did for the Chiefs or Joe Burrow did for the Bengals and go, hey, I'm your first guy. I'm going to take you out of the doldrums of being the Bears.
Are we sold? Do we believe it? I mean, there was some stuff last year.
That what?
That makes me just kind of like...
Well, yeah, his play got sloppy. It got sloppy.
Generational.
It got sloppy. Yeah.
And then he doesn't meet with the media after the last game of the season.
I don't love any of that. He didn't meet with the media a lot during the year. I don't love any of that. And he definitely got too backyardy football at one point during the season. I didn't love that. But here's my last thought of this, because I know we got to go to break, too.
It's just they haven't told me that yet.
I thought I saw it.
Hey, we keep talking until they tell us to go.
Oh, I thought I saw a Target thing in there.
And they don't tell us once.
Right.
We make them tell us until I hear Courtney say, in a very, like, direct, pointed break, we're good.
Why would you want to go to the Commanders over the Bears?
Yeah.
The Bears have an elite offensive line, an awesome tight end, receivers that we wax poetically about, right? They got two good running backs. They got everything you want as far as it. And I keep going back to where the GM.
There's one thing they don't have.
What?
Hot water.
Okay. Where'd the GM come from?
It's a horrible stadium.
Where'd the GM come from?
The GM of the
Bears
came from, Kansas City.
Right.
Yeah.
I just feel like it's Caleb Williams there. Yeah. And we'll see if Caleb Williams will have them. I know there's a lot of talk about that. But, man, I look at it from Caleb's standpoint and go, you can go to Chicago and be the king of Chicago? They're dying for a guy like you. And you're going to go to the Commanders?
Could be the Sausage King
of Chicago. Well, it could be, right. Yeah, the Sausage King of Chicago. That's Ferris Bueller.
Yeah, but
Abe Froman.
Abe Froman. Yeah.
You know,
well done.
Yeah, there we go. See? My brain's not that cloudy. But, yeah, I would relish that. It will be cloudy later today.
I'm sure you've already visited the dispensary. Biggest dispensary in the world, according to JK.
Is that right?
Yeah, oh, you're intrigued.
I got to be there. I'm going to be there this week at some point.
All right. We'll be back momentarily when we return. Shereen Williams will join us to talk about what in the world they're happening or what in the world is happening or what in the world they're doing.
No tattoos on Shereen's butt.
Some way, somehow. We'll talk about the Cowboys next year on PFT
Live. We wanted to see tats on Shereen's butt.
You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet? Well then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night, and building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Las Vegas, baby. There are the banners with the logos
of
the various Super Bowls of years past. Radio Row, Media Center, Mandalay Bay. By the way, we're doing a live show Wednesday.
Yeah,
you know this is official now, right? From the sportsbook at Mandalay Bay.
Yep.
5 o'clock Pacific time. Just show up, hang out. We're going to do our picks.
Yeah.
We're going to
break the game down.
We're going to have some fun. We're going to curse a little bit.
Right. So, are we going to drink during it?
I don't know. Are we allowed to?
Well, I mean, I'm a grown man. They can't tell me whether I can drink or
not. Are you going to smoke during it?
I mean, if they allow smoking inside.
I know. I thought of you when I got off the airplane, and immediately you're hit with all the slot machines. They actually had in the airport an area where you could smoke and play.
Like the
and
old
I thought
days.
Of you in there, but
the
it's all
days.
Glassed off. Like you're in a big, giant fishbowl, but I thought of you in there with some of your favorite products.
Man, in the old
slot
days,
machines.
You could smoke inside, right? So you would go to a casino and you'd be like, oh my gosh, it's just cigarette smoke everywhere.
Yeah, everywhere.
That haze that would hang over a boxing ring.
You could
ring,
take a hit of
pictures.
A joint and nobody would smell it. It would just sneak in with the rest of the cigarettes. Right?
I don't know if you're old enough. Mike and I are old enough to remember when you flew and there was the smoke in the cabin.
I,
had
in
a
early
smoking
days,
section.
I do remember that in my early life.
You know if you're on an old plane because it still has a no smoking sign up above the seat. Shereen Williams, by the way, of PFT is joining us here.
The legend.
And we'll start with one particular individual who was relevant to us for a few weeks because we were all hoping that Bill Belichick would become the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys so that Shereen would have twin tattoos of Bill Belichick and Jerry Jones on each cheek, not her face. He put out yesterday the ad in the Boston Globe, page A3. So, I mean, you open the paper and there it is. Lengthy thank you, humanizing, very unlike him. And I think it was a nice touch, but the timing wasn't a coincidence. He didn't do it the Sunday after he left.
Yeah.
He did it the Sunday after it was clear he's not going to be coaching anybody else this year. I know what I'm going to be doing, or at least I know what I'm not going to be doing. That's the Sunday it ends up in the paper as he starts thinking about 2025.
Well, and that's my fear. I hope our bet doesn't carry over to 2025 because suddenly the Cowboys become one of those
favorites. I don't remember
you
putting a cutoff deadline on it. I don't remember.
I will say I think things have changed from the Cowboys' standpoint. I do concede that he could be a candidate for that job in 2025.
Yeah.
Mike McCarthy and Nick Sirianni go on the hot seat, the hottest of hot seats, entering next season, and they're going to have to do very well in order to keep their jobs. And where are those team's going to look, if they're looking for a head coach, they're probably going to look at Bill Belichick, among others.
Sure.
I cannot see Jerry hiring a young coordinator. The only young coordinators he's ever hired are guys who work for him.
Right, Jason Garrett,
being one.
Right.
So he will go after an established head coach. So, just connect the dots if the Cowboys don't do what Jerry expects him to do.
And he had no qualms about blurting it out last week at the Senior Bowl that he can work with Bill Belichick. He had no reason to say any of that. And that's what refueled the potential for a couple of tattoos.
Well, you're very in touch with the Cowboys. Like, give us the feel in the building down there right now that maybe like the national or the national media doesn't quite get. Like, we know they're disappointed they lost. McCarthy's back. Yay. But what are kind of the under the radar rumblings there right now?
Well, I think it's just what you see. As Mike said, Jerry has fueled this additional talk of Mike McCarthy being on the hot seat and Bill Belichick being a candidate for that job. He had a chance to squash all this by giving Mike McCarthy a contract extension, which he didn't do, which is the same thing he did to Jason Garrett twice.
Right.
Once Garrett earned the extension and once he got fired and Mike McCarthy came in, or not contract not renewed, however you want to phrase it.
Right.
So, he has the chance to say Mike McCarthy is our head coach long term. He didn't do that. And not only did he not do that, he opened up this talk to Bill Belichick. So I will say Mike McCarthy and the staff knows exactly where they stand. There's no question about that. Yeah, they know that they're on the hot seat for 2024.
How about the quarterback? Not only where you think he thinks he stands or that situation, but also it's hard to gauge. Like, do Cowboys fans like Dak Prescott or not? It's a weird thing where I can look at social media one day and everybody's defending him, and I can look on another day and I feel like they're all like, oh, he's just good. He'll never be great. He'll never get us to the promised land. You live there. Kind of give us the feel there, too.
I think it's 50-50.
I think there's really, it
was the same thing with Tony Romo.
Yeah.
You have the hardcore supporters that can do no wrong,
right,
just like Tony Romo could do no wrong.
Right.
And then you have those who that can do no right. It doesn't matter what they're going to do. Like, he's their quarterback long term. Oh, he's going to win us a championship. He's the guy.
Right.
So you have really the split 50-50. The Cowboys, to me, have a huge decision to make. What are you going to do with Dak Prescott? He has him in a corner right now, Mike, as you've written about a million times.
$59.4 million cap number. The only way to get that down is to extend the contract. And if he decides I don't want an extension at all, it's $59.4 million this year, straight to the market next year, and they can't stop it from happening. And they'd carry $35 million in dead money under his name next year. They got over $90 million in cap dollars that have to be dealt with. And the only way to properly finagle that and finesse that is to sign into an extension that pushes money into future years, gets him paid, and he had a good enough year that he can credibly say, I want $50 million a year. They really are stuck here. And I think it's highly unlikely that they would just say, we'll just stick with 59.4. How can you sign CeeDee Lamb?
Right.
How can you placate Micah Parsons?
Yeah. They need other people in free agency. They got it. That's one thing. Yeah. Like you kind of talked about, Jerry Jones put the onus on everybody else and they're like, hey, you're on the hot seat. Hey, he's on the hot seat too. Their D tackles stink. Their middle linebackers stink. Their safeties are average, right? That's his department. He got to help the two coaches out a little bit that way. And I feel like I'm with you guys, or at least we're on the. Like, there is no decision with Dak Prescott, I don't think.
They already made it.
They're stuck. Yeah. I mean, if Jerry wants to win a Super Bowl in the next few years, I think so, right? It just feels that way to me.
Well, and Chris, Jerry's talked about pushing the chips all in.
Right.
And you just made the point. They have Michael Parsons to take care of and CeeDee Lamb to take care of, and they have to redo Dak. How are you going to be all in when you have all those big money contracts to do? And, by the way, the last big money, big name guy that you signed to a free agent deal was Brandon Carr. And that was a long time ago. Like, that's not their MO. That hasn't been their MO.
I bet they try to convince Micah Parsons to wait. I bet they try to get him to wait until after year four. And I wouldn't. We talked about that last week. $2.9 million for the position he plays. Yeah. No way in hell I'm putting a shoe on for $2.9 million.
The best defensive player in football. To me, he is less expendable than CeeDee Lamb. If you're making me make a choice, I'm going, we're going to pay Micah first, and then we'll work with CeeDee. We talk about it every year, right? Receivers are growing on trees right now. I mean, every year the draft supplies us with Puka Nacua in the mid round. What is he? One of the best receivers in football. So I would certainly, if I'm going to roll the dice on that type of thing, I'd roll it more on, we're signing Micah, best defensive player in football. CD really good, but I'm not ready to say best receiver in football by any stretch of the imagination.
But he had his best year by far.
He had his best
year
by far, definitely. But I don't think, I'm not ready to put him in the class of Justin Jefferson,
right.
Tyreek Hill, right? That group of guys, Jamar Chase. Again, CD really good, but those are guys to me that can catch a slant and run for 80, run by you for a 70-yard bomb. CD can do some of that, but I think he needs also a little systematic help along that that's different than those guys.
Mike, Chris mentioned all those receivers. They all need, most of them need contracts that he mentioned. Who's going to be the first to do that first? Because that's what everybody's waiting for, is that first receiver deal.
I mean, I would say Justin Jefferson, but I still hold out the possibility that the Vikings use him as a bargaining chip to try to move up to get one of the quarterbacks, or do a three-team thing where they would trade Justin Jefferson to someone else, and whatever they would get in a Justin Jefferson trade becomes the ammunition to go from 11 up to 1, 2, or 3 to try to get a quarterback. So until he's signed, I'm still I said that last year. If they don't sign him before the start of the 2023 season, I am watching for the possibility of Justin Jefferson being sacrificed to get them that thing they haven't had since Fran Tarkenton, a franchise quarterback,
so
if that's what they want to do.
We're hitting on here because, like, I'm not even up to date on total free agency, right, as far as all these guys. CD, we know. Justin Jefferson.
Jamar Chase,
right? Who else are we missing? Anybody? Oh, T. Higgins, we know, is in that conversation as well. But those are the main four, right?
Superstars who deserve big contracts now. Jamar clearly wants
Jamar and JJ is going to be the problem.
Right.
But he's in a way. He wants to see Justin do it so he can one-up him.
Yeah.
Right? And so that's where it could end up to both of them kind of dragging their feet a little bit.
And Jefferson and Lamb are from the same draft class. They're both entering their fifth-year options. This is the time. The whole idea of the rookie wage scale was to make sure that there aren't busts that make all this money. The guys who are great deserve to get paid. They shouldn't play these games with them, but they do.
Not.
So we'll see how that goes. Do we have time? Why don't we go ahead and take a break so we have more time on the other side? When we return, we're going to do a draft, but Shireen's going to stick around for the draft. We're going to draft the best defensive players in Super Bowl 58. So you get some time to think about it. You're well prepared.
I should be all right.
I'm sure you stayed up late last night to get ready for this. More PFT Live right after this.
Taylor and Smith, when you watch them on film, Taylor's, I think, leads the NFL with a ton of penalties. Anything stand out when you watch them?
They hold a lot.
A man of few words, but when he speaks, the words say plenty. They hold a lot. Guess what? Everybody holds a lot.
Well,
Jed York was complaining about that, too, from the last Super Bowl on the Jet Chip Wasp play.
Yeah,
Nick Bosa got held.
Right.
Guys get held all the time.
Right. Well, that's what we've seen in the playoffs. I mean, that's where I think some teams are frustrated, right, where they go, wait, the game was ref this way for 18 weeks in a row. All of a sudden we get in the playoffs, and DBs are allowed to hold receivers, tackles are allowed to hold DNs, and everybody kind of just, shuts an eye to it. And
Turn a blind eye.
Thanks, buddy.
A blind eye. I mean,
you could
open a blind eye.
Right. You're still blind either way, right? I mean, either way, you can't see out of that eye. But, I think that is annoying. And I think I told you, too, I had a conversation with very respected defensive coordinator in football. I'm not going to throw this out there, but he was bothered that this is a guy who goes, wait, we play man-to-man. I teach it right the whole year. I make guys wear oven mitts so we don't hold and do all that. And then they let the playoffs come, and these teams that play zone the whole year, they let them play man-to-man and hold. And he goes, what's the point of me teaching it the right way if that's the way it's going to be? And I do think that would bother me if I was a coach as well.
All right, best defensive players in Super Bowl 58. That's today's draft. We'll go around the horn, three rounds each. It's good because we got 9 picks at least to fill up. Shireen, you get to go first.
Well, I'm going
to
go with Nick Bosa, who obviously was Defensive Player of the Year 2 years ago, 10.5 sacks. This year, came on at the end of the year, 2 sacks against Detroit in the postseason. I think he's the best defensive player in this game.
Yeah, he's certainly up there. I'm going to go with Chris Jones, right? It's the same type of talk here. With these two teams, the reason that they're Super Bowl, I think we're going to get through 5 or 6 guys here and go, damn, he's awesome. Oh, he's awesome. He's a star. But, yes, Chris Jones, we know. The ability to pressure the quarterback from the middle, they move him around, his ability to bat balls down, his ability to get his big right arm up and knock a few balls down in the first Super Bowl matchup between the 49ers and Chiefs was a big difference in the game. I'll go him.
Those are the two easy ones.
Yeah,
after that,
yeah,
like,
are.
There's a drop.
Now you got
it's like
a,
where do you go
now
from
there's a
here?
Lot of good
a
right
lot
there.
Of good guys.
Right. And I guess I'll go Dre Greenlaw because he had the two interceptions against the Packers, yeah. And he had that one that iced the game. And
yeah.
He made it interesting by running around for 12 seconds while they were yelling at him to get down. But, you know, if you've got that knack to be in the right place at the right time, maybe that's a guy who can make a difference when Patrick Mahomes is doing his thing. And it just comes down to instinct. At that point, there's nothing about scheme. It's just instinct. Mahomes is doing his thing. Are you going to anticipate where he's going to put that ball, and are you going to get there before the ball does? And I think Greenlaw, of any of the guys on the field for the 49ers defensively, is the guy who's got the instincts to do it.
Yeah.
And you know what? For the same reasons, Mike, he may not be the best, next best defensive player on the Chiefs, but I'm going to go with Nick Bolton because he's healthy now. And remember back to the Super Bowl last year, he had the huge play in the Super Bowl.
No
the biggest,
doubt.
Maybe the biggest play of that game. So I'm going to go with Nick Bolton just because I think he has a chance to make a big play to change the face of the game.
I agree with you. That would have been my next pick. All right? So you're not crazy on that. Nick Bolton is all-pro caliber middle linebacker. He is no doubt that. If he doesn't get hurt this year and miss a number of games, he's going to be an all-pro. Yeah. Like he's awesome against the run. He can run down running quarterbacks like we saw. He is an incredible football player. All right, well, I got to go with Fred Warner off of that. I mean, Fred Warner, we know, maybe not playing his best football here as of late, but still it's been the best middle linebacker in football, I think, probably the last 3 years in totality. You know, I think, again, he's the leader of that group, and he's the guy, like you talked about with Dre Greenlaw. Oh, yeah, I got to worry about Kelsey. Oh, wait, I got my other eye on Mahomes if he scrambles. Oh, crap, they're throwing to Pacheco here. Oh, damn, it's Pacheco right up the A-gap, and now I got to man up and tackle him. He's going to have his hands full in this one.
Peter King explains that at halftime of the game against the Lions when they're down 17, there wasn't a big moment, no big fire and brimstone. But Fred Warner was one of the few who spoke. So
he's the leader of the day.
And he doesn't need to yell and scream. He gets
right.
his point across.
Right.
I'll go to L'Jarius Sneed.
Yeah.
He had the great play against the Ravens, knocking the ball out from Zay Flowers' hands. He, and this is a reference that I know Shireen will get, and the anniversary of the movie was just last week. He did the manhandling of Tyreek Hill like Robin Williams' character Jack Dundee in The Best of Times. Have you seen that movie?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, I mean, he, you know.
In Sneed, the mud, raining,
yeah.
right?
Great, Dr. Death.
He does like a set.
Dr. Death,
do like
he finally does
twirls,
it. He does it, to get away from him. He does the spin move to get away from him at the line because he's just getting pounded into the mud by the equivalent of L'Jarius Sneed against Tyreek Hill. But he's got the instincts and he's got the ability. He's the best corner, I would say, on either of these two teams.
Yeah.
And, they're going to need him to come up big against either Deebo Samuel or Brandon Ayuk or whoever.
Agreed.
I agree with you. L'Jarius Sneed is the best corner in this game. Second best corner in this game is Treverius Ward. Career year for him. Really was a lockdown guy for the 49ers. I think he's one of the better defensive player on the 49ers.
And played for the Chiefs and knows
and
a thing or two
Chiefs.
From the practice
Definitely.
Field.
That's right. That's right. So I think Ward's going to be a big factor in this game.
I think the 49ers have to change their approach on defense from the way
Absolutely.
They played the last 2 weeks.
Absolutely.
Way too soft, way too much space. I would be shocked if we don't see the 49ers come out and play a little bit more man-to-man and get in the face of these receivers to take them out of rhythm. I don't know where I want to go here. I mean, holy crapola, Batman. I mean, we still got Armstead, Javon Hargrave, Carl Laftis, Trent
Young.
McDuffie is a big time, of course, all pro corner. All right, since you went corner, I won't go corner again here. I'm going to go with Javon Hargrave. I say this because one of the issues right now with the Chiefs and what we don't know about, is it a Joe Tooney or is it Nick Allegretti,
right?
So that's still up in the air. Hargrave has had a good year. I don't think he's been as good as he was last year with Philadelphia, which made him strike it rich in free agency. But I look at him to go, hey, if it's Nick Allegretti, you're supposed to win that matchup. They're paying you to win that matchup for sure. You know, hey, it's Joe Tooney. It's an all-pro versus an all-pro. There's going to be stalemates. But you should whoop the crap out of Nick Allegretti. And that would put the spotlight on him, honestly, if Allegretti starts and Tooney can't play.
And Allegretti held up well.
He did.
Last time around.
He did.
When you don't notice him, that means he's doing
well.
That's right. Right.
We noticed George Karlaftis drop on the fumble that Charles Omenihu caused of Lamar Jackson in the AFC Championship. And I'm going to go Karlaftis. I mean, he had double-digit sacks this year.
He's the man.
And they need him with Omenihu out.
Right.
They need somebody to take advantage of the attention that gets paid to Chris Jones, get around the edge, and try to get to Brock Purdy before he does the water dragon thing and skips away and takes off down the field.
Yeah. Can I bring up one more guy? We didn't mention Chase Young at all. And they made this big trade, this ballyhooed trade for Chase Young. We haven't heard very much of him. Mike, what does this do for his free agency?
Nothing.
The way he's played,
he's going back to the 49ers probably at a low-level deal or something.
That's my point.
Yeah,
I just don't think he's played very well.
No, he is not. Shereen, you were spot on. I'm glad you brought it up, really. It is. It's, you know, I know you always used to hear me say, right, like Montez Sweat is better than Chase Young. People didn't want to hear that because they were like, wait, he's the number two pick. He went to Ohio State. He's the sexier name. But, yes, there's – it's not very impressive. I think I told you last week, when it comes to pure pass rushing, Randy Gregory's a better pass rusher than Chase Young. Chase Young does a good job in the run game, but yeah, that you know, good thing they only traded a compensatory pick away for that, not something more to get Chase Young.
And you have to wonder, that knee injury from November of his second season, is he still recovering from it, or is it as good as it's ever going to get?
Right.
And that's what he's always going to be, and this is just it. And then he just... he never gets the big payday he would have gotten, should have gotten, as the second overall pick in the draft if he was second. I think he was second. And you just take whatever you can get, go wherever you can go, and just extend your career that way. But, you know, Sweat got his deal not long after being traded to the Bears.
Right.
And Young, I don't – unless he – this is an opportunity for him.
Absolutely.
If he has a big game, get somebody's attention. We've seen it happen. We saw the Raiders do it to Dexter Jackson after that Bucs Super Bowl.
Yeah.
They gave
Larry
him
Brown.
A huge contract.
Right. Larry Brown,
Larry
too.
Brown.
Exactly
Desmond
right.
Desmond Howard after the Super Bowl.
Super Bowl 31.
31 right. against the Patriots.
Patriots.
So guys can get themselves set up for big contracts that maybe they otherwise wouldn't get.
Look
and
at
then
the
they
defensive
go,
guys we got
a lot
here.
Of good defensive
I mean,
players.
We didn't even get McDuffie. We didn't get
Who's,
Eric Armstead.
All-pro slot corner.
Right.
Yeah.
You know? We
Justin
know Reed is a really damn good safety, right? I mean, it's a Super Bowl with a lot of star power on the defensive side of the football.
All right, let's take a break. When we return, some early news about the practice field here in wet and rainy Las Vegas.
What?
Specifically the
it's
49ers
the desert,
practice
I thought.
Field.
How dare
More
it
PFT
rain?
Live
Florio
right
brought
this.
The rain. What a jerk.
You're the man, first off.
Brandon Marshall is... the man.
You're the man.
Debo Samuel is the man.
You're the man.
Aiden Hutchinson is the man.
You're the man.
Justin Jefferson is the man.
You're the man.
CeeDee Lamb is the man.
I love you. You're like, you're the man.
Mike Evans is the man.
What up, dude? You're the man.
That guy over there is the man.
Oh, that's so good.
They're
hey,
on to me, Mike.
You texted that to me the other day. That's like your thing.
It is my thing.
I've said last week there should be a Jim Harbaugh doll with the pool string, and it says, who's got it better than us? Nobody. And I'm going to attack the day with an enthusiasm known to man or whatever else. That would be your – you only need one. You the man.
Yeah.
You the man.
You the man. I mean, you the man.
Where's my weed?
End the conversation or yo-yo mofo to start the conversation.
Yeah.
That's kind of where I go from there. It's one of those two. But, damn, they exposed me there. Now you're going to have me thinking twice when I meet these players, you guys, you jerks in the back room.
That's great.
Directing
very
the show.
Very well done.
Yeah, hey, Courtney and Kristen, you are not the man, okay? You jerks for doing that to me.
You know who also is not the man?
EJ?
No. Whoever did the field that the 49ers are supposed to practice on, apparently, they are not the man. Report from Jonathan Jones of CBS. CBS, by the way, televising this year's Super Bowl 58. 49ers not happy about the firmness of the practice field at UNLV. A group of 49ers staffers, it includes members of the equipment staff and grounds crew, inspected the field last week and have raised concerns about the firmness of the surface. The NFL put natural grass over UNLV's artificial turf, and the staffers believe the field is too soft. And now they're considering their alternatives. I don't know what the alternatives would be, but I don't think... the right way to put a grass field in isn't just to say we're going to lay a carpet of grass over the artificial turf. I think there's a greater degree of science that goes into preparation of a grass field than we're just going to roll out grass on top of turf.
Well, I don't know the severity of this yet, right? I'm interested to hear about this a little bit more, but this is crazy. Of all the things of the Super Bowl, the biggest games of this people's lives? Of all the things you control, you would think it'd be like, hey, the NFL, we make billions of dollars. We could control a grass field. Even though we saw last year in the Super Bowl, we couldn't do that either.
Right.
So these are things where I just go.
It was a player's fault. Yeah, I'm according sure. According to the man who will
who
not
never
be taking
played football?
Questions from
the guy that never played football. Right.
Isn't invited
right.
to
I know.
The
he's the man, and he's a great commissioner. He talks about football too much like he knows what he's talking about, and he doesn't know anything about
fine.
It. All right? So that's what I don't
fine.
Like.
Anyway. but they'll find – there'll be an excuse. That my point is this. Even if they completely and totally failed as an organization to put a proper grass field in, they'll never admit it. They'll spin it some way. Yeah. It's somebody else's fault. It's fine. They're wrong. They're wearing the wrong shoes. No, it's fine. No, it's not. It's like 1984 stuff. No, there's nothing wrong with it. You're the problem.
The
grass is fine.
Right.
If there's a problem, it's you.
Right.
It's not the grass. So it'll be interesting to see how this plays out.
Because
I don't
be.
Think the 49ers – We'll deal with that crap. They got to get ready for a game.
No doubt about it. You know, a lot of the dirty work is done last week, but yeah, you still want to have practices here and
part
stay
of the
on,
fix.
Right, and
this
stay
is part of the fix.
What do you mean the fix?
You know, they want Taylor Swift.
They want the Chiefs to win.
Travis Kelce.
But I literally see people on social media who go, look at the emblem thing. It means the Ravens and the 49ers are going to play each other. And in their same timeline, they're also talking about the fixes in for the Chiefs to win the game.
Well, because
like
they've changed
both
the script.
Things here.
Well,
like,
because
so
well, No. Yeah. Chris, you're missing the point. They picked the logo before the Taylor Swift angle landed in
so
their lap. So they had
it.
To revise.
Oh, gotcha.
So now the first tangible step is give the 49ers a substandard practice field to kind of make them unprepared for. So we figured it out. That's why.
Right.
That's why. So too bad 49ers. You're going to lose anyway. So, you know, you're going to find out quickly on your nice practice field. Did you watch any of the
Pro
Bowl
did.
Games?
I did. You know, I've fought against the Pro Bowl over the years because I'd like to watch real football. But this is the only alternative right now. I did kind of – I was on the plane – right, so there was limited options, but I did enjoy it. I did. Now, I mean, again, I'd like to see maybe more of our quality superstars playing in the game, right? But there still was some moments as far as the game, the way they interrupt the game to do a few little obstacle course challenges and stuff like that. It keeps you interested, and there was a few plays and like. All right, we've been talking about C.J. Stroud. If this was fun, I did have fun watching this. I mean, the NFC whooped the crap out of the AFC and the tug-of-war stuff. They could not mess with Tristan Wirfs and Lane Johnson and some of these guys. They were dominating this competition. That was cool to see. Look at Aiden Hutchinson here with Danielle Hunter, right? That's incredible. But the C.J. Stroud throw, just to continue our wax poetically, this is insane, Mike. Watch this throw. I don't give a crap if there's no pads and this is a flag football game. Are you kidding me?
Unbelievable.
It's like there was a magnet to Ja'Marr Chase. That was an incredible, incredible throw. But good event, and football's king. If they can fill up a full stadium for flag football, then damn, who knows where this is going. The Olympics are going to like that.
Well, that's right, and they're really pushing flag football at every level, in every way. That is the new indoctrination tool. And I'm not saying that in a bad way. But that's the way to better globalize the sport. Because you know what? They can't play tackle football in every country, but they can play flag football. And it becomes an Olympic sport. And that's the way where you draw people to the NFL through flag football. They were never going to get regular football in as an event.
No. Nope.
Flag football's in now, and we're going to see this massive push for flag football. Even though it's not like watching real football.
No.
But what'll happen
people still
is
like watching
what'll happen
it.
Is
yeah.
I saw some deal, ESPN did some deal. They're going to be force feeding us with it, and we're going to start like, well, what do we watch? Do we watch another rerun of Seinfeld, or do we watch flag football? And then you start watching it, and you get used to it, and you start to like it. I remember back in the day when ESPN didn't have much, and it would be Australian rules football, and I got to kind of like that. The guy in the trench coat with the fedora who would come out and do that. I didn't know what it meant, but I got to like it. So it's like anything else. If it's on TV and you see it, you get used to it, and I think that's part of the broader play. And the core of it is globalize the NFL and eventually catch soccer. And our friends in the UK don't like it when I say that.
Yeah.
But again, what happened to boxing? What happened to baseball? What happened to horse racing? They used to dominate, and the NFL was trying to just catch up to them. And now they're not even in the dust. They're just gone. Horse racing and boxing, forget about it. And baseball is so far behind, you don't even need to look in the rearview mirror.
Right.
All right, let's go ahead and take a break. We'll wrap up this Monday edition of PFT Live from Las Vegas right after this. We are here all week long. Dan Patrick's on before us, 9 to noon Eastern. Matthew Berry, Fantasy Football Happy Hour, noon to 1. We're on 1 to 3. Michael Hawley, Michael Smith, 3 o'clock. All from Las Vegas here at the site of Super Bowl 58. And we'll have some great guests this week. And again, strategically, we are trying to avoid tipping our hand because we don't want any agents to get involved in reeling guys back. But we do have a pretty good list, and we got a good one coming up on Friday.
Yeah, we do.
We got multiple good ones. We got one good one in particular I'm looking forward to.
We got Friday.
It can't be Tuesday, but it'll be Friday.
Well, yeah.
Wouldn't be Tuesday. It doesn't work on Tuesday, but it will be Friday.
There you go. He's trying to cancel that interview as we speak right now. Mr. Snarky.
I'm trying to think of a way to ask him, like, have you read Tuesdays with Maury?
Right.
Would you read that on a Tuesday at the bookstore?
I'll lead him down that road.
I mean, you just went right at Jacoby Myers today, and it was Monday. By Friday, you'll be punched.
I'll be ready, baby.
We'll say whatever the hell. I mean, what's he going to do? It's not like he's going to hit us. I mean, that's the thing. We're grown men. Like, if we're on a playground, because I, as you might imagine, I have honed my smart-ass skills over time.
Right.
And I did it at a time when I knew that saying that thing that I thought was funny, at least to me, was going to get me punched in the face, and I did it anyway.
Right.
Like, we're grown men.
Right.
He's not going to beat me up.
Right.
And we do it. It's all in good fun.
I know.
It's not malicious.
No, I don't think he's never been affected. I think he's always been aware of your critiques anyways.
And he still shows up.
I give him a lot of respect for that.
I'm going to beg him to come back to the Vikings this year.
Good.
I should have brought my jersey.
That's why it's a special year.
I should have brought my jersey.
Because I'm going to be like, hey, Kirk, look at Mike Florio. He's wanted you to not be the quarterback of the Vikings for the last 5 years, and now he does. Look at what's changed in the world. This is
amazing. So much for not saying who our guests are. Anyway, that'll be Friday, unless it isn't.
No, we got an awesome week. We got lots of action. We're going to be going here all day long, even after the show's going, because we're going to continue to throw interviews and things and splice it into the shows.
And we're
going to
get dragged all over the place into the madhouse that is Radio
Row. It's starting already.
Fortunately, we've got some folks running interference.
Yep.
I mean, I don't want to say no, so if somebody else says no,
and we're going
me,
to
that
a,
gets
we're getting a little steak dinner tonight.
Steak tonight.
Right?
We're going to play some craps.
We're
going
to see what we do to Florio and see how crazy we can make it.
See you tomorrow, or maybe not. Have a great day.
You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet? Well then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.